thankful for another opportunity to be in church. Now, Lord, I thank you for all of those that are here this morning. And I know there are others that would love to be here but are not able, and we pray for them. Those that are on the road traveling, please keep them safe. Those that are sick, we ask that you please touch them, give them the healing they need in their bodies. Those that can't be here because they're caring for another person, Lord, we pray for them today, that you would strengthen them and help them. Give them what they need, Lord, as they provide care for these people. Lord, for all the prayer requests that have been mentioned today, we lift each one before you. Pray your will to be done. Lord, we want to be sure to thank you for all the blessings of this past year. Lord, I know that we have trials and tribulations. We go through hardships and difficulties. None of us are exempt. But Lord, through it all, you're God, and you're good, and you're holy, and you're righteous, and you're in complete control. We thank you for the hope that we have in our heart, because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that doesn't know him, that this day would be their day of salvation. I pray for those of us that are already saved, that you would minister to our hearts through the Word of God. I pray for help and strength and anointing and power and filling as I try to preach this morning. And I ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, as all of you know, Tuesday is the first day of a new year. 2018 will officially be in the books, and we will begin the new year, 2019. And since we are about to embark on the journey of a new year, I thought I would preach a message this morning titled, New Creatures in a New Year. New Creatures in a New Year. And to get us started, I want us to look here once again at the verses we just read. So please look there again at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And notice Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and what that means is they're saved. Because whenever a person gets saved, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes them into the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, if any man be in Christ, if any man is saved, he is, not he will be, but he is a new creature. Every saved person is a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not some, not most, but every saved person is a new creature. That is our position. That is our standing before God because of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we get saved, we are no longer the same creature we were before we got saved. We are instantly transformed into a new creature. What I want all of us to understand this morning is that God's will, God's plan, his desire for us is for us to live like what we are. Amen. He has declared us in his word to be new creatures. That's where we are. Not necessarily because of our practice, but because of our position, because we are in his Son. Because we are in his Son, we are new creatures. But he doesn't want us to be new creatures in position only. He also wants us to be new creatures in practice. He wants us to practice our position. God's will and desire is that we bring our daily lives, our daily practice into line with the position we have in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his will for all of his people. It's kind of like whenever you have someone that is a doctor. They go to school and they put in the time and they study and do all that is required of them. They meet all of the requirements and they are licensed as a doctor. They are declared to be a doctor. It really wouldn't make much sense for a person to have that title, to have that position, and then not practice being a doctor, would it? Wouldn't make much sense at all. They've put in the time, they've done what is necessary, they have the position, they have the title, and now they need to put into practice what they have. They need to practice their position. Matter of fact, that's the terminology that's used quite often when referring to people in the medical field. We say things like they're practicing medicine, right? Or whenever you have a question about where their office is, so-and-so might say, well, their practice is downtown in this particular location. So what is normal is for someone that's a doctor to practice in their daily lives their position. And that's exactly how it needs to be in our lives as saved people. God has said that we are new creatures, right? We just looked at it right here in the Bible. Those of us that are saved, from God's perspective, we are new creatures. We're not waiting to be new creatures. We're not hoping to be new creatures. We're not planning on that happening somewhere out in the distant future. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven geographically. We are right now new creatures in the eyes of God because of our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. And what is normal is for us to practice our position. God wants us who are new creatures to behave like new creatures. Amen? That's what God desires for those of us who are saved. Now, how in the world does this happen? How do we practice our position? Well, to be new creatures in practice, listen to me now, we must do in our daily lives what happened when God made us new creatures. How do I practice being a new creature? I must do in my daily life what happened when God made me a new creature. If you look right here at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, you learn that two things happened whenever God made you a new creature. Here's two things that happened, spiritually speaking. Number one, when God made you a new creature, old things passed away. Isn't that what it says? Right here in the Bible. Verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Here's what happened. Number one, old things are passed away. The old things associated with the creature I was, those things that were not of God, all of that passed away, spiritually speaking, when God made me a new creature. That's the first thing. But here's the second thing that happened. The Bible says in verse 17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And look at verse 18, the beginning of that verse. And all things are of God. And that, by the way, is how we know, or how we should know, that Paul is talking here about our position or our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let's be real about it this morning. Can we be real about it? Y'all want to be real about it this morning? How many of you can stand up where you are and say honestly that, practically speaking, everything in your life is of God? How many of you can do that this morning? Anybody want to embark on that? Take a shot? Not one of us in here. Me, none of you, none of us can say that, practically speaking, everything in our life is of God. But spiritually speaking, that's exactly how it is. When I got into Christ, the old things passed away, and those old things that passed away were replaced with new things that are of God. That's what happened the very moment that I became a new creature in Christ. So what I got to do to practice my position? Well, I got to do what happened when God made me a new creature. That means that in my daily life, I must replace the old things, those things associated with my life before salvation, the things that are not of God, I have to replace those with new things. Amen. I mean, if I'm going to act like the new creature God says I am, that's what I got to do. I've got to begin exchanging the old for new. Letting those old things that were a part of my life, my daily living on this earth before I got saved, those things not of God, let those things go. Let them be in the past and no longer be a part of my life. I got to get rid of that stuff. But listen, it's not just about getting rid of the old. That's only part of the equation. You replace the old with new. Oftentimes I hear people that are saved talking about all the stuff they don't do anymore. And thank God, amen. I mean, our lives ought to be different. We're a new creature, we ought to start acting like one. But the problem with focusing only on what you don't do anymore is you're not doing everything that needs to be done in order to be in practice the new creature that you are in position. It's not just about getting rid of the stuff that doesn't belong in my life. It's about bringing into my life new things that God wants in my life. That's what has to happen. So don't always be talking about what you don't do. Here's a good question to ask yourself. What do I do? Okay. What are you doing now? Well, thank God you're not doing the things you used to. At least I hope you're not doing all those bad things that maybe you did at one point in your life before you got saved. But what about now? Now that you are saved, what are you doing for the Lord? What new things are now a part of your life that were not a part of your life before you got saved? That's what's involved in me practicing my position. I got to let those old things go. Those things that are not of God, let those things go away. But replace those old things with new things. And if a person is honest, and I don't know, sometimes you run across people, good people, but they're kind of self-righteous folk. You know what I mean? They're saved people. They're a little self-righteous, and they want us to believe that everything in their life is all squared away and they have arrived. How about let's be honest about it this morning and admit that what I'm talking about is a journey that we go on. This practically speaking, letting those old things go and replacing the old with the new, that's not something that's going to happen overnight, okay? It's something that has to happen through time as we grow in the Lord and as we mature in the Lord and as the Holy Spirit through the Word of God opens our eyes and reveals truth to us and shows us things that don't need to be there and shows us stuff that does need to be there. It's something that takes some time, but that is the goal, right? That should be the goal, that as I go along in my Christian life, more and more I let go of those old things. I let them pass away, and I replace those old things with new things that are of God. That's what the Lord wants for me. In 2019, if we make it till then, we live through that year, we have these New Year's resolutions. I've just about given up on some of those New Year's resolutions. I don't know about the rest of you. That one that a lot of us, not all of us, some of you are slim and trim, you're right where you need to be, but a lot of us at the beginning of the new year, we think, I'm going to lose weight this year. Most of us are just kidding ourselves, aren't we? You know, the only thing that I can still wear from the day I got married is my tie. That's it. Can't wear nothing else. I don't expect I'll ever be back in that suit again. Give up on those types of New Year's resolutions. But I'm all for, I'm serious, I'm all for spiritual New Year's resolutions. I'm all for that. And I know that we'll fail on some of that too, just like we do on these carnal things that we resolve to do. I know we'll fail on some of that. But here's the thing. As I look to 2019, a resolution I should have is to practice my position as a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That in this new year, I should try to let go of some more of those old things. Some of that stuff that just kind of keeps hanging around that doesn't need to be there. And here's the thing that we got to keep in mind, because this is where some of the deception comes in. Because after we get saved, some of us stop doing some what we consider to be big sins, bad things, like maybe drinking or doping or some of the stuff maybe we did before we got saved. We get a lot of that stuff out of our life, or I hope we do anyway. We suddenly begin to think that we have arrived spiritually, that we've got rid of all the old things. I have talked to these people who, as I mentioned earlier, a little bit self-righteous, you know. They think that because they don't drink and they don't do drugs and they're not some kind of a whoremonger or an adulterer or something like that, they'll tell you all those old things have passed away. Everything in my life now is new and of God. Is that right? Is that right? Let me talk to your wife for a little while. How about that? Just get your wife alone. Let me talk to her a little bit. Let me talk to your children for a little while. Let me talk to your pastor for a little while. We'll find out just how many of those old things are actually out of your life. Because listen to me, friend, it's not just about getting those big things that we really condemn and look down our nose at out of our life. How about the lust that's in your heart? How about the covetousness that's down in your heart? The greed that's down in your heart. The jealousy that's down in your heart. The envy that's down in your heart. How about that stuff that's on the inside? That unrighteous anger. Those unholy emotions and feelings that we have that maybe we can hide from people. So your Christian life is not just about getting those external things out. God wants to work on us inside and out. Amen. So how about as we enter into 2019, we resolve to try to practice our position more, that we try to be in practice new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we let go of some more of those old things that we've been hanging on to. How about some bitterness maybe? How about some unforgiveness is down in your heart? How about maybe a grudge you've been holding against somebody for years and years? Y'all still with me? This is the stuff that'll nail you high to the wall right here. And there's people, they ain't drunk a drop in 20 years, but they've been walking around with bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart every day of their life. How about in 2019 we let some of that old stuff pass away? We get rid of some of that stuff and replace all of that stuff with things that are new. Things that are of God. That's what I'm talking about in us being new creatures in 2019. Putting this thing into practice. Putting some feet to what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are new creatures. But as we live down in this world down here, as we walk around living on this earth down here, we need to practice what we are. Let those old things pass away and be replaced with new. Now look right here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to give you something real quick here. Try not to take too long. As I read through this chapter again, and this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, but as I read through 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, I got to looking at the context of verses 17 and 18, and I noticed what I consider to be some new things that should replace the old in our lives. Number one, let me say this. We need to have a new labor. A new labor. Look at verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9. Paul says, wherefore we labor. He's talking here about spiritual labor. He's talking about laboring with and for and in the stead of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He says, wherefore we labor that whether present, that is, present with the Lord, verse number 8, or absent, that is, we're absent from the Lord still, and we're down here, which is where all of us are at this morning, right? We're not present with the Lord, physically speaking. We are still here. We're absent from the Lord. We're still here in this body on this earth. And he says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. This is talking about a practical acceptance. It's having God's favor, his approval on you as a child of God, as a new creature in the Lord. He says we're laboring, spiritual labor. We're laboring so that whether present or absent, we have his acceptance, his approval on us, and how we're conducting ourselves while down here on this earth. Why is this important? Why is it important that as a new creature, I begin to labor in the things of God? Why is it important that as a new creature, I labor on behalf of the Lord down here? Why is that important? Well, let me show you something here in the very next verse, verse number 10. Y'all know the verse. Why do I want to spend my time on this earth laboring for the Lord? We sang earlier this morning the song about working till Jesus comes. Amen? Didn't we sing that song? You know, it's amazing how often we laugh when we sing, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest about it. Let's just take our halos off this morning and be real about it. There's a lot of times we standing there singing those songs about how much we love Jesus and, oh, how I love to tell the story, and you ain't told the story in 5 years. Know what I mean, Jelly Bean? And we'll work till Jesus comes. Well, if you're going to work till Jesus comes, you got to start working. And these folks go to church and they singing about working for God and working for God and working for God. They work hard at all kind of other stuff, but they have yet to really get serious about working for God. We sang this morning about working for Jesus. That's what we ought to be doing, right? As new creatures down here, part of me practicing my position is me laboring for the Lord. Why is that important? Well, here it is, verse 10. For we must all, you'll see that word, all. You know who that includes? You. Okay. Me, you, every person that's saved. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Here it is. That every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Every one of us that's saved has an appointment with judgment. Doesn't the Bible say it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment? And what the Bible says? The Scripture says every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There's coming a day when every single Christian will stand and give account to the Lord. We'll stand at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not a judgment. This is not a judgment about heaven or hell. If you're saved, that's settled, right? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to worry about going to hell. That's settled. But you're still going to meet the Lord in judgment one day. And you know what that judgment's going to be about? It tells you in the verse that everyone may receive the things done. Done. You know what that judgment's about for a saved person? It's about what you've done in your body while on this earth as a Christian. What you've done, whether it be, look at it, good or bad. If you've done good, if you've labored for God like you were supposed to, you'll be rewarded for that. If you've done bad and you haven't, you'll be rewarded for that too. Here's what the Word of God says. Y'all listening to me? The Word of God says he rewards every man according to his, what is it? Works. Isn't that what it says? That's what the Word of God says. So this judgment here is about what I've done. This is why it's important that I have a new labor as a new creature, that I spend my life laboring for the Lord, because one day I will give account for what I have done in my body. As I look at the context here, I find that the main part, not the only part, but the main part of my labor is trying to help people have a right relationship with the Lord. That's the main part of my labor. Look at the very next verse, verse number 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, Paul says, we persuade men. Persuade them to do what? Well, if they're lost, he's persuading them to get saved. If they're saved, he's persuading them to labor for the Lord. That's what he's doing. And look on down in this same chapter at verse 18 again. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Here it is. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is when you take two people or two parties that are at odds and you bring them together where they're at peace and they have a right relationship. The Bible says here that the Lord has given to us, those of us that are new creatures, that's the context, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at the next verse. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Here it is, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In verse number 18 is the ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 19 is the word of reconciliation. Why? Because the ministry of reconciliation is primarily a ministry of words. How do I help people? What is the main way that I help people have a right relationship with the Lord? Well, I've got to tell them what they need to know in order to have that relationship. Amen? That's what I got to do. If I'm dealing with somebody that's lost, to help them be reconciled to God, I've got to tell them what they need to hear. I've got to give them the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. Now then, we, those of us that are new creatures, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? It's a representative, right? Somebody that represents another person. We are the Lord's representatives down here. You talk about a strong motivation for me practicing what I am, just knowing that I am his representative in this world down here. I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at what he says. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, physically speaking, is not here on this earth right now. Right? He's seated at the right hand of God. That's what the Bible says. Physically, he's not here. Who is here, though? Those of us that are his ambassadors, we're here, right? So what are we supposed to do? This laboring, this ministry, it's us in his stead. It's laboring in his stead, on his behalf, being his representative, trying to help people be reconciled to God. That is the labor I am to have as a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to devote my life to trying to help other people have a right relationship with the Lord. That's part of me practicing my position. So when we go into 2019, if we're going to practice our position, be a new creature, we're going to have a new labor. Devote ourselves in this new year. How about this morning, us resolving, just personally, that in this new year, we're going to tell as many people as we possibly can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think that's a good resolution for the new year? Just to resolve that I'm going to be his ambassador, his representative, in his place, in his stead. I'm going to try to represent him and tell people, as many people as I can, about him. We got to have a new labor. Number two, let me say this. I'm going to move on. Another new thing that should be in our lives as new creatures is a new love. Not just our labor, but our love. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ is something that needs to be in my life as a new creature. A couple of ways that this love should be in my life. Number one, I should love him. The love of Christ, that should mean the love that I have for him. I should have a real, true, genuine love for the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Bible teaches that he ought to be our first love, right? Our first love. The that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love him with everything that we are. We should have a love for him. Another way that his love ought to be in our life is a realization of his love for us. How many of you understand this morning that he loves you? That he loves you? You need to have that realization. And according to verse number 14, look at it again, this love that we have for him, that he has for us, should constrain us. That's what Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constrain means to compel, to force, to drive toward a particular course of action. His love for me and the love that I have for him should compel me. In this new year, I should be driven. You talk about the driving force. What should be my driving force in the new year? What should drive me? Number one, what should drive me to labor? We just talked about laboring and telling people about Christ. What should compel me and push me along and give me the strength that I need to be faithful to labor for him in the new year? His love. The love that I have for him. The love that I know he has for me. That ought to compel me to be faithful to labor for him in the new year. If you get to thinking about it, when you love something, whatever it is, it's pretty easy to do it, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that? When you, I'm talking really love something, it's easy to do that. I'm going to tell you what I believe. You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm going to tell you why I believe so many Christians nowadays have such a hard time being faithful to live for God. Because they do not have a real, true, genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. Maybe they did at one point in their life. Maybe they're like the church at Ephesus. They had that love at one point, where he meant more to them than anything else or anyone else in the whole world. And it's obvious when that's the way it is in a person's life, isn't it? Man, when somebody is in love with the Lord and he's the first love of their life, it's just amazing how hungry they are for the things of God. And they don't look at doing things for God in a negative way, like it's some type of burden that they have to bear. They look at it as a privilege. And it really kind of comes easy to them because that love drives them. It constrains them. It forces them along in their relationship with the Lord. But you start listening to a Christian. I'm serious now. Start listening to a Christian. All they do is gripe and bellyache, make excuse for why they no longer do the things they used to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He's got some excuse for their lack of faithfulness and dedication, and always whining about somebody else and some other situation and trying to blame other people for their own lack of faithfulness and dedication. I'm going to tell you the problem there. They're putting it off on somebody else and making excuse and trying to blame somebody else, but the problem is that person has fallen out of love with Jesus Christ. That's the problem. Because when you love him, and you have an understanding of the love that he has for you, it will constrain you to be faithful to him. We need a new love. We need a new love. I'm not saying you need to be saved again. You just get saved one time, right? What I'm telling you is that in 2019, some of you folk in here need to fall back in love with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm telling you. Because that is something that is no longer there in your life like it once was. There was a time when you loved him more than anything, and that love constrained you. But now, honestly, you know, I don't have to point anybody out. You know it down in your heart. You're not faithful like you once were. The dedication level is not there. You're not hungry for the things of God like you once were in your life. That stuff has slipped, and you know, sitting where you are this morning, the problem is not anybody else in this church or in any other church or the people you work with or the folk you hang around. The problem is you have fallen out of love with Jesus Christ. And what you need in 2019 is a new love. You need to fall back in love with Him. Let me give you one last thing. Y'all still listening? We need a new labor. We need a new love. And last of all, I want to say we need a new living. A new living. If we're going to be in practice new creatures, we need a new living. Here it is, verse 15. Look at what Paul says. And that he died for all. How many did he die for? All of us. And that he died for all, that they which live, those of us that are alive physically, most of all those of us that are alive spiritually, we've been made alive, that they which live should not henceforth, that is from this time or point forward, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Part of me being a new creature in practice is me having a new living. I don't live for myself anymore. Isn't that what he said? You don't live for yourself anymore. Who do you live for? You live for him. That's what it's about. It's about living for him. And let's be real about it again. When you're not saved, everything that you do ultimately is for you. Everything. You say, well, no, I know lost people and they help other people. Yeah, they sure do. You know why they help those people, though? Ultimately, it's about them. That's why they help them, to get some kind of pat on the back, or they help somebody because they know that this person will help them somewhere down the road, and you pat my back, I pat yours, that kind of thing. When you're lost, ultimately, everything you do is for you. We get saved, that ought to change. Part of me being a new creature in practice is me having a new living. I no longer live for me. I live for him. And here's the motivation in that, and I'm all done. Why should I want to have a new living, live for him? Look at it in the context here. Start back in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Why should I want to live for him? Because he died for me. That's why I ought to want to live for him. His sacrifice, the sacrifice he made for me, should be all I need. All I need to want to live my life for him. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to be in church. Lord, as we head into this new year, we hope and pray that this year will be the year that you come back and get us most of all. But if you don't and you let us continue to live in this world, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be in practice what we are in position. Strive to be those new creatures that you have declared us to be. To let more of those old things pass away and be replaced with new things that are of God. Give us a new labor. Help us to recommit and rededicate our lives to laboring for you. Give us a new love, Lord. Any of us that have let that love slip, help us to fall back in love with you like we were in the past and even more. Lord, give us a new living. Help us to live this year not for ourselves, but for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.